call the May 11th
now be recorded.
Labor Committee meeting to order. Just to avoid the awkward in and out and not knowing what order to go in, just a quick roll call. Sean Meskey, I have also Councilmember Kathy Schwantes, Councilmember Fernando Alvarado, and Councilmember Vicki Davis. And from staff, we have Samantha Beckman, Rob Baumgarn, Sean Christensen, and Brian Granitz, as well as we are joined by Shelby Lindrud from the Tribune. Is there anybody that I did not get? All right, thank you for your attendance this evening. The agenda is very short. We're gonna be turning it right off and listening to the Recreation Department evaluation. Do we go right to Rob or Sam, you wanna do a little intro or we go right to Rob? All right, Rob, it looks like we're going right to you. The floor is yours, sir.
All right, well, good evening, everyone. Chair, member of the committee. I came up with this packet that I was sent out to you, so feel free to ask me questions while we go through it. If you just want me to go right through the PowerPoint presentation, I can, or do you just want me to, how would you guys like me to conduct this? I mean, you guys are given the information.
Maybe you just kind of go through the PowerPoint. You can go through it probably at a faster clip. Council members, if you have questions, please interrupt at that time. I think that would work just fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Again, a little bit of this was a little bit of a history, so everyone can get caught up to speed about where we were in the past, when we were with community, ed, and rec, and where we're at currently. So if you look back at it, way back when, probably 25, maybe 30 years ago, the city ran the Park and Recreation Department. They had a director, two recreation supervisors. That was like Dave Gord and Kathy Botten. And then when Kathy Botten retired, Leanne Freeman took over for that. And they really did more of a male and female type of sports with their youth and adults. There also was an arena manager and a part-time arena clerk. And then the leisure service clerk, which would be Becky. So then when we move on to when they joined up with the school to make WCER, there was a community education and recreation director, and then underneath him there was two programmers that did basically dealt with the recreation program. There was a youth and adult. With those, there were other duties assigned to those people as well. When I first got hired on back in 2001, I was facilities and aquatics at that time, and then the positions just kept on evolving and more and more programs came our way. And so then I actually eventually end up just taking all the youth recreation and facilities. And when we talk about that, that was all the school facilities and all the city facilities that we would schedule. I wouldn't schedule the ice for the arena, but it was all part of the school facilities, the gyms, the cafeterias, classrooms, et cetera. For the city, it was the Robbins Island, the ball fields, and the city auditorium. So, but also with community ed and rec, they also had two enrichment programmers that would deal more like with like Lamaze classes, driver's ed, everything like that. So, and then also we still had the arena manager under us along with a secretary, but that position was removed in 2016, I believe. We still had the secretary, the liaison service clerk, but also part of when it was community ed and rec, we also had early childhood underneath us, adult basic education, and the Cardinal Place staff. And they also had staff underneath them as far as the secretaries. So when the transition of us going back to a park and recreation department, I know that we had an ad hoc type of committee that worked at this and looked at our situation and how we can make it better and everything. So we decided to have the park and recreation director. With that, I would take the lead on all the parks and the arena improvements. So let's say with the refrigeration plant that was just put in and, you know, putting the steel roof on with And then the other projects as far as the bleacher and the improvements that we did inside the Cardinal Arena with the sheetrock and the new paint, that was all under my watch as part of this new job duties. So then we had two recreation coordinators that deal with youth, adult, and family recreation, facility scheduling, the operations of the arena. So when we talk about the arena's operation, that's more of the day-to-day type of activities that we have as far as scheduling the Zamboni drivers, dealing with the concession stand, ordering supplies, all the food safety regulations that we have, and everything. Also, we have special needs and the special events. So last year was an exciting year for us because it was our first year with everything, and we got asked to do a lot. The mayor's bike ride we did. We did three bike events over the last couple of years that we've been together. So a lot of special events have happened as well. Then we have the community center manager. That person is in charge of the community center, the daily operations of that. And that other person has also duties of the bike program, so our warmer bike program, the bike share, and they also help out with the DOAC managing that. And that was part of when we were community ed and rec. The youth enrichment coordinator was also the aquatics, and they also help run the pool as well. So back in the day, it was actually I started running the pool, and then Leanne Freeman took over the pool, and then Pam Verwink, actually, who was the aquatics director for when it was community ed and rec, she had all the aquatics, so that included the pool as well. Okay, and then we also had the leisure service clerk, which is Becky's position, and which we renamed that as the recreation assistant. That has not been hired yet, and Becky's last day was last Thursday, I believe, or two Thursdays ago. So that's where we are currently standing right now. We have myself, two programmers, and that's what our department is right now, along with the community center manager. We're just looking at when we can hire the recreation assistant to fulfill Becky's position. So that's kind of a real rough rundown about where we were and where we're at now. Does anyone have any questions about the history of the department? Okay. All right. So when we get into the staffing concerns and or, everything, we kind of broke it down into what the recreation coordinators do. As far as one does all the adult leagues, so that's our basketball, volleyball, softball, men's hockey. So whatever adult programming that we have for our leagues, that's what they are also part of doing. The special needs programming that we have enhanced this past year, we've turned it more into like backyard games and everything, and it's been very popular with the group. Like, we've done more of like beanbag toss games and adapted the wiffle ball. We actually gone into it hitting with the beach ball and everything, so it makes them more successful and everything. And then the facilities. When we talk about facilities, this person is scheduling all the ice for the curling, for the hockey association, the high school, the youth, all the dry floor events, dealing with all the leases, dealing with all the concession stand concerns, daily deposits that are need to be done. So they are, in some sense, they are probably more of the arena manager piece of it. So, okay, Sam, you gave me something here.
Sorry, I didn't want to distract you, but I made you the presenter in case you can share your screen so they can see the slide you're talking about if you'd like.
Okay, well, I just hit share?
Yep.
Okay. Can everyone see my screen now?
Yep, we can see the PowerPoint.
Okay, so here we are with the recreation coordinator with the special needs, adult leagues and everything. As you can kind of see, they have a wide range of responsibilities and You know, when it comes mid-October, when we're really busy here at the arena, they are pretty much on call 24/7 because the building's open from, you know, 7 a.m. to almost 10 p.m. every night during the week. So there's a lot of things that go on out at the arena, from all the hockey, figure skating, curling, open skating, high school games, Warhawk games. This person is in charge of that, doing that on a daily basis. So here are some of the leagues that we run and the total of teams that we've had. And our winter programs, adult hockey. This is when we get a lot of our leagues, just because everyone wants to get being active in the wintertime, from volleyball to hockey to basketball to co-ed. And in springtime, we still do, you know, volleyball tournaments, basketball leagues, co-ed volleyball. We do get into some of the special needs programming, but a lot of this has been canceled this year because of the COVID-19. So here's just some more things about the facility manager, about how they schedule everything. Any questions with the adult recreation facility manager? Okay, so we'll go to, and these are just some other ones that the person who's in charge of scheduling the facilities, you know, with the auditorium, they have all the rec programs and rentals of the gun range, the Robbins Island reservations, and the baseball and softball soccer fields that they coordinate along with. You know, they got to schedule all the fields for the rec programs, traveling, baseball, soccer, all the amateur teams with the Stingers, the Rails, Legion, VFW. One thing is, too, about with the separation, too, we are, we take care of all the fields as far as marking them, public works staff, or if they're on school property, we end up taking care of all the painting of the lines for soccer. That was something that we agreed to in the past when we were community ed and rec. They help pay for the paint, and then we come and spray them for them. So other things that we work on is with the showmobile, picnic table, and barricade rentals. Now we get into the youth piece of programming. This person develops plans and promotes all the family and youth programs that we have. So a lot of the baseball, t-ball, softball, wrestling, youth football leagues, basically anything that deals with the ball or gymnastics, this person is going to be coordinating those activities for the community. We do work with our high school coaches very well. We have a great relationship with them, so we do use them a lot. One of our goals as a department is to use our part-time staff more frequently. If let's just say the gymnastics coach is not available to do the program, we can't always rely on our high school coaches to do those programs, so we need to rely on our staff. So like this summer, we would have had new programming coming out for baseball that we would be using more of our staff, because a lot of those kids that we use for part-time staff are athletes themselves. Like an example, one of our part-time staff is a volleyball player at Augustana, so she was going to do a volleyball drills and skills for us. We have another employee that is playing basketball and softball at St. Ben, so we're going to use her resources and have more of some basketball fundamentals and softball fundamentals that we can just use our staff, so we don't have to always rely on our coaches. They are a big part of our program, but some of that is because we have a really good relationship with them. Other parts that this person works on is like the movies in the parks. And again, they communicate with the coaches, with their programming, and the Stingers and the Warhawks. This person uses a lot of collaborations also with out-of-town communities. That's what we have been going to with our baseball and football programs. That's what we did in the past. We got away from that a little bit the last couple of years. We did more in-house programming, and we saw our numbers fall off. We could tell that kids want to have that competition and to play the other town, and that was one of our goals this past year, to get back to running the summer baseball and softball leagues that we had in the past where, we've had up to 25, 30 teams in our third and fourth grade baseball in the past where we would have to play Atwater, New London, KMS, Benson. I mean, we've gotten all the way up down to Lacaparle and Mineota and to Dassel and to St. Cloud with some of our leagues. So once they knew that we had the central hub here in Wilmer, we kind of took control of those leagues, and they were really good. It gave us an opportunity for us to develop our baseball and softball programs with our volunteer coaches. It was a good avenue for the kids that wanted to play some more rec baseball. Also with the rec coordinator, they're kind of a jack of all trades. They have to help out with the bike program at times. They do all the training and meetings with the coaches, sets up schedules, does staff training. They are a very, very busy person in the summertime. And these are some of the programs that we collaborate with our high school coaches on. One thing that we are doing is trying to market it. Everything now we do with our coaches as the Little Cardinals. It's a way for it to market so that people know that we are collaborating with our high school coaches. One big program that we had this past fall was a brand new 7-on-7 flag football league that we did on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. We've never ran a flag football program during my tenure. We started it, and we had about 150 kids come out and play. It was great. It was fun. The kids got to play late into the season. Some of it was actually into the after MEA break, so it was a little bit colder out for the kids, but they just had a blast. We had a really wet fall, so it was interesting watching the kids play, and sometimes that they would get pretty wet and muddy, but they had a blast out there, and we got a lot of good reviews from the flag football program. There's some other programs that we do in the spring and summertime. Here's our fall and winter. Some future ideas that we want to get into is a snowboarding program. Start doing more things with our parents. You know, if the parents want to have a night away from the kids, that we would probably set up some of the inflatables that we can get with Robert from Fiesta Time so the parents can go out and then just drop the kids off here and we can have some fun with the kids that way. Carnival games, I know that was a big thing that was in the past that at the year end, the rec department would always use the city auditorium for carnival, so we thought maybe bringing that back. Running club, we can do a lot of things. It just, we wanted to be able to do them well, though. This was a big program for us this past year. We've always thought about how can we get kids back into the park? And just looking around, and I came up with the program, and we just called it Park It. And so on the dates here, you can see that we go to Miller, Lincoln, Rice, and Northside. The kids get to check in. We found an app that the kids can punch in their number like they do for when they go through the cafeteria line, so we could track their hours that they've been at the parks. And so the kids get to play games, yard games with the staff. They get to learn new things. If they've never tried tennis or lawn checkers or crafts, this is an opportunity for them to come out in the afternoon when we kind of have a little bit more of a dead time in our programming. That 1 to 4 time frame seems to be always a difficult time to get kids out for programming because of the heat. So this is a great opportunity because we can be under the shelters, be under the shade and everything. So we had special guests from Stacy's. We've had the ambulance, the police department, the Stingers come out and, you know, just interact with the kids. According to our records, we had about 350 kids come through the Park It program, and there was incentives to that as well. And we were talking about how can we get them out there. Well, in order to get them out there, you got to have that carrot for them. And so a family ended up getting some tickets to the Vikings game, some Twins games, and Timberwolves games, so and other prizes too that we got donated for bikes and all that type of good stuff for the kids. So here's just some things that we've been doing. As far as our brochure, the Park It program, Alex, who's our new youth rec coordinator, she's very computer savvy, so she likes to get on there, and she's done a great job with the other staff too, is about coming up with some virtual type of programming. We got in the mail today our first bingo card back, that when it was the blackout for bingo, so kids were able to go out and do activities with their families, and they sent it in, and they get registered to do a prize and everything. We've done some virtual tours where people can actually click onto a link and tour zoos or other activities that they might be interested to do. And this is with senior programming. We have a wide range of things that people can come to our website and look at programs for them to do while we're all going through this. Here's some staffing at the community center. Britta's done a very nice job out there. She relates well with the clientele that's out there. You know, from the food service program, to taking the facility reservations, promoting the programs, overseeing the part-time staff. I think Britta and I both have a goal of making that more community center based. I believe right now I feel like it's probably more senior based, but people need to understand that it is our community center and that it's going to be open for other activities as well. Right now, I know she's busy doing getting the gardens ready for everyone to come out and everything. So that's a big part of her thing is the gardens. She takes a lot of ownership over that, making sure everything's out there for what they need, having it tilled and having it plotted and everything. Another big part of her job is overseeing the pool. It's another thing, just like the arena. Once it's running 24/7. 7 days a week, and so she hires managers to help her out as well, but she's the ultimate person that oversees what goes on there as far as the staff training, making sure all the lifeguards are current with their CPR and being with professional rescuers, ordering the supplies, lifeguard tubes, talk with the public works staff on a daily basis about the cleanliness of the pool, seeing how the chemicals are all testing out and everything. She is going to become a CPO, which is a certified pool operator, so she has a better understanding of how the, you know, the chemicals and how everything needs to balance out and everything. She's also oversees the bike program with the bike share, and this was something that came on to us too really quick when we first started our department, but Britt has done a very nice job of overseeing that. It does take a lot of time because we're kind of working through the whole bike issues. There are issues with the bikes, with the back fender and the lock. It doesn't always lock, and so then we get the message that if it hits a spoke, it retracts, and then it will not lock until someone physically comes and does it. So let's just say there's been some phone calls on a Saturday afternoon about trying to get our bikes locked up. So, but she takes it, she works with it, and she does a great job with it. And one thing that she really worked hard on this past year is being part of the bike-friendly community. We haven't received word that we got it yet because of the COVID, but I'm pretty sure that we will keep our bronze status as far as with the bike-friendly businesses and community. So, you know, our staff is scheduled to work 40 hours a week. And this all kind of changes because of what their job duties is. You know, for example, if we're having flag football at night, you know, if it is doable for the staff to leave at 3 o'clock, I don't see a problem with it as long as their work is completed for the day, that we don't get charged the overtime for them to come back to their program to oversee to make sure things are running. This is different because when we were at Community Ed, we were salary employees, and we are not now as far as part of the city. So we talk about the overtime. They understand it. They don't abuse it. And they understand that they have some flexibility in their work week. They do work their 40 hours a week. And then some that they don't even account for. Any questions about with the staff? All right, we'll get right into the camp and clinic.
I've got a question.
All right. I can't see you, so I can't. So far away.
Okay. Is our staff under you? Are they on Cronus?
Yes. Yep. We just got them trained in, and they're up and running with it. I've told them that they have to put it on their calendar right now to remind them to punch in, because I think that's going to be the biggest thing for them, is just remembering that they need to punch in and punch out.
Okay, good. Yeah, there's going to be a learning curve, I'm sure. So that's good to hear. Yep. Okay. Thank you.
You bet. Something with our camps and clinics that probably needs to be understood about it. When it's community ed and rec, and this is a probably a statewide type of format that the community ed and rec departments have used, is that they would do a 70-30 split with the instructor. And they do that still today with their programming, if it's adult enrichment or, a Lamaze class or a pottery class and everything. That's how they do business, is a 70-30%. So out of that, the instructor would receive 70% of the revenue that has come in. Community ed and rec would take 30% right off the top. But I think we found out that once you start paying, all the para and FICA and all that type of stuff, it comes down to being more into that 12 to 15% that would actually be revenue back to the department. Part of the 30% also includes, us doing the reservations, the facility usage, the marketing, the staff time and assistance with any type of equipment needs. And again, the 70% goes back to the instructors. But the instructors would have to pay for their part-time staff out of there, and any type of awards or T-shirts that they would want to be able to give to the participants. And we did have some issues come up with this. Talking to the coaches and trying to get everything organized and making sure that everyone's on the same page and not have any gray areas. Because we would find out that, let's just say, the gymnastics would be a 90-10%, 10% split, where the department would get 10% of it back. Or then we would talk to the basketball coaches and they would receive 80%, and the department would get 20. So there was a wide range of agreements that were there that wasn't really consistent. And I felt that being as a part-time coach with the football team, that I talked to the coaches on road trips and found this information out. And, they weren't too happy about it, that other coaches had different agreements with the department. So that's why I came up with, the $5, basically a registration facility fee for our camps and clinics. And most of our prices are going to be in that, $30 to $40, $50 range. So it's really close to that 10 to 15% of the revenue coming back to the department. What's nice about it is that we don't lose any money on doing any of the camps or clinics. It's going to be profit for the department the whole time. So, and it's worked out really well this year. The coaches are very pleased, because now they have a very black and white thing. This is what it is. And they know that in the future, that $5 is probably going to climb up to $6 to $7 to $8, just because of our costs are going to go up as well. So they all understand that. They're all in agreement with it. And they were very pleased with it this past year. Questions about camps and clinics? All right. So our relationship with the community ed department is outstanding. Scott Waller and I talk on a regular basis about issues or anything that comes up on his end or our end, and just talk it out to see what we need to do to resolve it. And it was a really, really smooth transition, because basically we said, we're going to take everything that's recreation-wise, anything that you deal with, a field or a ball or anything like that, that'll just come under us. And they really wanted to concentrate on the educational piece as far as science and technology, the adult enrichment programming and everything. So as far as the split between programs and everything, it was a very smooth transition between the departments. Scott understands what their role is for their departments as far as educational-wise, and we know that we take everything recreational-wise. We do have our facility agreements in place that will come up. We have one more year with that agreement. The only thing that is a sticky point now, and we found this out later, that the school has made a change in their facility use policy of not reserving anything until 6 o'clock at night. And that kind of hampers us a little bit because, if we wanted to be able to get into one of the gyms at 5:30 to start programming, technically we can't. Those are some of the issues that Scott and I work out if we need to make that arrangement happen. Basically, what they've said with that is because of all the athletic use that is in their facilities, they would like to keep things booked from after school till 6 o'clock for, junior high and high school athletics because they use all the gyms. And so we do rely on the school for their gym. So a lot of our programming cannot start till after 6 o'clock for the adult and for the youth. So when we talk about the YMCA, they have their programs and we have ours. I talked to Mr. Holland when he was the city administrator to how he wants our relationship with the Y to go. And he goes, we're the park and rec department. You do what you need to do and everything. I've taken that with a little bit of a grain of salt because I know that we all have to play fair in the sandbox type of analogy. But we also have to provide what's best for the community from the city standpoint. For example, like our flag football, we did not run that on Saturdays because that's when the Y does there. We just offered it at a different time, location, and everything. So we would like to keep that honor going, but we also understand that we need to be able to provide programs for the community as well. We have our target audience, and the Y has their target audience. I know there was concern about our basketball program, and that's why I wrote that, a couple paragraphs about the basketball program that we have, and we didn't want to step on the Y's toes with it, but if that's the route that we need to go is to provide an updated basketball program during the week, or if it has to go on the weekends, we'll have to look at that. Questions about community ed or the YMCA? Okay, the future of our department. I feel once we can get the recreation assistant on duty, I feel like as we stand right now, we'd be in really good shape. But we know that with all the Invest in Wilmer projects that are coming, I do see that we will need to add an additional staff person. We have been looking at job descriptions and working on that as far as having a facility recreation manager that would oversee all the facilities, understanding the replacement plans that need to be put in place, schedule those facilities with all the staff that needs to be put in there. That is something I feel like is going to be coming our way with the event center, the bubble, the turf field. There's just going to be a lot more out at this facility that we are going to have a person designated to that and oversee those. It's going to be a very challenging task to be able to schedule all the staff for all those facilities. Also with that, there might be some potential of maintenance because we're going to get a lot more building to take care of, to clean, and to manage. So I feel like if once we can get the recreation assistance hired. I know that we got interview lined up for them. We just have to get the green light to conduct those. We can be good as what we are right now, but in the future, I do feel like we need to be able to look at adding an additional staff. Since we've been in existence, I feel like we've done a really good job with a lot of things that we've done. Our staff is getting more and more comfortable of understanding about what their role and their identity is. I know that I have some goals out there for them to achieve, not just always look at our traditional programming. They need to look outside the box. What are some other things that people have done? And so this was part of the homework assignment that they had during when they were working part-time, is look at other departments throughout the whole country and say, hey, what are five or six different things that we can bring back to Wilmer that we are not currently doing? We've talked to the Pistol Club about, how can we have these partnerships together about, firearms training, and they do a varmint shoot and that type of stuff. Those are recreation activities that people may not know how to do on a, where do they find out how to do that? Well, that's our job, is to get that information out to people so they can, do those type of activities, because that in our eyes, that's a recreation program as well, that we can get those out to people. And we talked a little bit about establishing a strong part-time staff to be able to go out there, and if we need to have a soccer program in the springtime, that we have a capable and trained staff to go out there and conduct the soccer program. So I'm happy with where we're at as a department. As myself, I've learned a lot in the last year and a half to 20 months about the job. I'm still learning. I know what our strengths are, and I know what our weaknesses are. I know where we need to work on certain items, and that's, we're going to always strive to be the best, and we just got to keep learning. If we do make a mistake, we got to learn from it and keep moving forward and provide what's best for the community.
Thank you, Rob. I know we had asked when we did separate from the school district, we had asked that we would get an update on how things were going, and Rob has put this presentation together. I think you did a great job. I think the history was well covered, the staffing responsibilities were good, and where the future is going to go. I would assume most people were holding their questions for the end. I don't think anybody has no questions, Rob. I think they're just holding back on you. So at this time, as long as I can't see everybody when we're sharing the screen, so if you have a question, feel free to ask that until I can see all the people's faces. So if someone has a question, let's get that started.
Sam, can you just not make me the presenter anymore?
Yeah, I was just going to send you a message here. If you go to the list of people, and I think you would need to right-click on my name and then just make me the presenter again. I can probably take it back somehow. I'm not 100% sure how. Oh, I did it. Sorry. Got it.
All right, I can see all of you now. So questions for Rob. Councilmember Schwantes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rob, I want to just tell you, I agree with Councilmember Meske's comments that this was really a great presentation. It was very thorough, very well laid out. I really enjoyed it, and I think it's unfortunate that the full council wasn't here to hear the message, because it was one of the council members who's not here that specifically asked to hear your report, and I think that he would have had a much greater appreciation for all that is done and all that our staff is doing in this department. So hats off to you and your folks for what they are doing. I love it that you added the things like the park and the traveling basketball or baseball and some of the family programming and things like that. So those new initiatives, that's great to see. With the COVID-19 challenges that we have, you'd mentioned that there was a lot of programming that's been canceled, and understandably. Could you touch, I think you did mention a couple items, but could you touch on what programming is happening right now and how the public can get involved with that as we go into this summer? And so much programming is canceled for the kids. I'm sure that parents are looking for opportunities for their children, and maybe it's taking place in a little different shape than it has in the past, but I just want to make sure that people are aware of what opportunities are available. And then if you could talk about what is staff doing? I'm guessing they're staying busy, so I'm not questioning whether they're working or not, but I know in our role, life has changed in what we are doing and how we're doing it, and I'm guessing that's probably the case with your staff too. So if you can just address how this situation has impacted their work.
All right. Chair, members of the committee, we have a lot of things on our Facebook page, and Dave Hillenbrand's done an excellent job of formatting all the senior activities that they can have if they just visit our website. We got senior programming, we got virtual tours of museums. There's a long list of items that people can do. Recently, we just did a boredom for bingo. So there's the chart that people can go, and you know, if they walk the mile, boom, they can cross that off and go to the next one. And so there's the bingo card that people can do. I know that we're working with the mayor about doing 100 days for 100 miles. So he's going to be working with that as well. We're actually working with the police department to do a fitness challenge for people to do at home. We kind of teased them a little bit about being Hans and Franz from Saturday Night Live, but I don't think Chief Felt was too keen on that right now. We're just doing a lot of virtual type of stuff with our coaches as well. We had Jamie Hagen, who is our varsity boys hockey coach, coming out here and just showing kids, all right, hey, some stick handling type of moves, some how to do slap shots and everything when they're at home. So a lot of the programming that we're trying to do is kids that can be at home and be active. And, you know, if it's the 100, you know, if it's a 1,000 shot basketball challenge, we're going to have that out there working with the Basketball Association so kids can get out there and start doing things. My kids are a little bit of the guinea pigs because they get to be the ones that get to be filmed. So I had my 9-year-old out here trying to do football drills. And as a football coach, he needs some work. So I have to stay at home and work with him a little bit. My other son came out here and did some basketball drills. So we're showing kids certain things that are age appropriate that they can work on. And again, we're just trying to get it out there so everyone can view it. So I know, Fishing and Opener was this past week. I know Britta put some stuff on there for boat safety. It just, we don't want the kids to be on the screens all the time. So we're just trying to get them some activities that they can get out there and do. So as far as with our staff, they are working with some of the programming right now, but they also are working with the arena staff, outside mowing, doing the weed whipping. Tomorrow they're going down to Public Works with Gary to help out with the dog park, cleaning up Robbins Island a little bit. So we're keeping them busy. We're just waiting for the green light to happen and to be ready for that. So there is times where they're staying back and getting some of the programming pieces done because we're dealing with a lot of the other communities because we're the big brother of all those leagues, and everyone looks to us about what we're doing and how we're going to do it. And so we got to be that central hub about getting the information out to people. So they still do that on a part-time basis, but they're also getting their feet wet with some of the public works duties.
We're glad to hear they were busy. Make sure they are staying safe while they're busy. Other questions for Rob? Rob, I got just a general question. You said you know what your strengths are, you know what your weaknesses are. Let's call them opportunities, but what here's your chance to highlight some of those strengths and maybe some of those opportunities. What do you see there?
Well, I don't think we're afraid to do stuff. I think we're calculated risk takers on what we want to do as far as programming goes. I know for like myself, some of my strengths are seeing a project and finding ways about how to maximize our dollars. I just look at the Sperry pickleball courts. I broke that down to three different segments as far as understanding, doing some of the work myself as far as understanding getting a different asphalt company in, getting our own fence, talking to pickleball people about what we need to do. So we're able to, really construct those at a lot cheaper rate than just farming it out to one person. I have a construction background, so I like doing that stuff. I like working with my hands. So working with public works and seeing things at a different perspective is one of our strengths, that we see things differently and how things can happen operational-wise. I think if you talk to the arena staff, like Jeremy and John, they have a person that gets it as far as what it's like maintenance-wise, understanding the Zambonis and that, instead of just saying, hey, we need a bearing for the conditioner. Oh, I understand that, what they need, so they can talk apples to apples to and everything. We with Alex being a new person on board, she brings a lot of excitement. She's very outgoing and everything, so her attitude and her persona is going to carry on to everyone else here. She's a bundle of joy, so which is nice. With recreation, it's hard at times because everyone's got, different viewpoints of how recreation programs should be ran, if they should be for very highly competitive people or, the kid that is just learning how to throw a baseball. So we have a wide range, and so I think our staff does a really good job of incorporating all of that, collaborating with a lot of the associations, understanding that we're all in this together and it's a team effort to get this done and to be able to put a good product out there. So those, I think, are some of our strengths, is that we are able to work with a lot of people. I just know when I came out here to became the arena manager, people are saying, oh, geez, hockey, you got hockey coaches, you got hockey parents, and you got curlers, and you got this and that. I think with the whole transition and everything, I think everyone is very happy at the arena. Everyone understands what their role is, and I think there's a lot of peace out here at the arena right now, which is good.
Councilor Alvarado.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know the numbers are 0-0-0 right now because of COVID-19, but how were the numbers tracking up to the point, up to, let's say, March 17th on some of the programs? Do you have any way of keeping track? You talked about having a number of kids coming out in the afternoons to different programs. You had 350, but what about some of the core programs? How are they doing number-wise, or how are they trending?
They should have been in your packet about what we did, what was the last year of community ed and rec, and to what our current numbers were. We're pretty much dead on about what it was when it was community ed and rec to what it is with the City of Wilmer Park and Recreation Department. It does fluctuate a little bit, but I feel like our numbers would have grown this past summer with the improvements that we have done. I'll just say for baseball, we took a couple steps backwards before we took over the department. They did a lot of in-house games, and it wasn't what people were used to beforehand, where they would go and play at Water and KMS. I don't know if playing the in-house games was the right thing to do. But that was a decision that they made. So our numbers were down in baseball a little bit this past year, but talking to the people saying, well, now that we know that we're back playing, the out-of-town teams and everything, and kind of like traveling in itself, our numbers would be growing.
Okay, thank you.
I'm pleased with our numbers. Once we can put our twist and everything onto it, I think our numbers will stay steady and continue. We want them to grow, so we got to. If we put out a good product, people will come to us and be part of our program.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
That is good to hear that the numbers are about where they were before. How about, and this is a hard question, I guess, and you can tell me it's not apples to apples. A lot of people, when we separated, thought there'd be a lot of redundancy and that we would be just duplicating staffing in both areas. It sounds, as you were talking, though, there's a pretty clear separation of educational programming versus recreation. What does it look like from staffing levels, the back when we were merged to now with the separation? Are we having to hire a lot more to deliver the same services, or is that a staying about equal as well? Or are we doing it with less people? I don't know the answer.
It's a little difficult to say because we were so mixed when we were community ed and rec because, Pam did some of the aquatics. So Britta's taking some of the aquatics. Facility stuff. One person did all the facilities for all the schools and cities. Now that's separated into two where Amanda, who's down at community ed, does the school, and now we do the city. So it's, I think the hardest part with our department is that we try to collaborate really three positions into two, with me taking a lot of the lead of the arena manager position still. So a lot of that is still on the director's plate. Because in some sense, the facility person that's doing all the ice scheduling is the arena manager in a nutshell. They really are. They just don't take care of the big ticket items. And in the past, that person would always do that. So I think we're a little short on our end as far as the department, especially actually looking at what the future is going to hold out here. Those are some things that I think that we need to be aware of. Does that answer what you're...
It does. I know that it's out there, but we've kind of created this, and so we're trying to navigate what the right levels are for what we're doing for the city. So, and I haven't heard a lot of outcry that things are not working the way they should be working. So that's good news. And so it's a moving target to figure out how we're doing. I am glad that I think you had good answers for all the questions. So Councilmember Schwantes.
Thank you. This is kind of on that same line, but knowing it's not apples to apples, I didn't know if I should ask. So Rob, if you don't have an answer, I completely understand that. But if we would take a look at what revenue and expenses were, so our net from before the split to what our revenue and expenses are, but really that net being the most important, are we similar to the ballpark, ahead or behind, or where would we lie?
That's a really difficult question because when we took over some programs at Community Ed and Rec, we'll just say like the youth football program, that was actually considered a school program. And so was youth wrestling, and so was youth soccer, and so was youth softball. The association came to us asking if we can run the softball. So a lot of those programs were under the school codes. And so then all the expenditures would come out of those school codes then. So it's really hard for us to say, all right, what did we get from the school point of view and budget-wise, because we weren't really in control of it as far as city-wise. And so we're just trying to gather that information as far as how much does it really cost us to run softball? And how much does it cost to run youth soccer? Because it was never under the city's jurisdiction at that time.
If we didn't even bother trying to match up programs and for revenue and expenses, do we just know what it cost us to have this pre and post parting ways? That would just be of interest, and not that I expect you to have it here, but that might be an interesting figure to see. And then if I could continue and just ask, I know that we talked about the recreation assistant position that's vacant now because of the retirement. What are your plans for a timeline for replacing that position?
If I could have asked, it would have been 4 weeks ago when we had Becky here to do some of that cross training. It's whenever I can get the green light. We had the interviews ready to be set. It just happened the day that we were going to conduct those interviews, we were told, you know, to put a freeze on it till we know more about what's going on. So the sooner the better for us, but understand that if programming does not happen this summer, that we do have some time to look at that position a little bit more down the road.
And I'm quite honestly happy to hear us be saying down the road. I mean, I understand the value of this position and the importance of it, but given where we're at right now, it's just tough to, it's even tough to onboard new employees. I'm struggling with that a little bit. So thank you. Yeah. But again, really great presentation.
Well, thank you. We do know that Becky has 30 days before she can come back as a part-time employee. So we do have that in our back pocket as well. So Alex and Britta and Ryan, they all have taken like a piece of the puzzle, and we're working on it as far as understanding the deposits, the refunds, all the little things that Becky did that kind of goes, you know, under the rug because she's been here for 33 years. She just knows how to do it. So.
Other questions? Councilmember Alvarado.
Yeah, I'm interested in hearing more about the technology end of it, the virtual tours, the accessibility, making that very easy for, that seems like it could be a multi-generational thing for the program. Could be entertaining. I like your, this is off the thing, I like your puzzle of activities, and somehow if you could incorporate going to a link or two links or sharing two links or whatever you want to do. But I think there's a thing called Lifting Louis. Lifting Louis is Louisville, Kentucky's way of using technology to promote its city and to get people excited about things around Louisville, Kentucky. So I would encourage you to check that out, Lifting Louis. And then, and it's more than just virtual tours. It's educational programs that some of these educational software companies are donating or are there for free. So the potential for that link stuff is phenomenal. So I would encourage you to check it out and see what you can do with it. It's a real good thing. So so besides Facebook, how are you making people aware?
We give it to Dave with his Facebook page too, and we all just share it and everything like that. So it gets around there. I think I looked the other day that we had like 1,500 views at the, you know, the basketball one. And so it gets around. It gets around kind of slowly with some of them if it doesn't interest the people. So that's why we kind of like bringing in the high school coaches, because then now the Hockey Association shares it, the booster club shares it, and everything like that. So if people know that we keep doing this on a continual basis, we do a video every week with one of our programs, that just will keep, you know, snowballing, and people will keep looking at our stuff. It's a marketing tool that we have, is what that we're trying to work on and everything.
Great. I think it's very exciting. That's a new wave of doing something, and so I like the idea. So check out that website and see what they have to offer. I think it'll be able to enhance the continuum of services that we can offer. Thank you.
Councilmember Davis.
I just wanted to say thank you for this presentation. It was really good. I enjoyed hearing all the things you're doing. And when Council Member Alvarado mentioned multi-generational, it reminded me to thank you for touching on the fact that our community center is a community center and not solely a senior citizen center. And I would like to see some, you know, multi-generational things there, maybe some board games or something. That could be really fun. And thank you again.
Thank you.
Rob, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that my eyes blurred when I looked at all of the activities that were going on. We literally have a plethora of things going on, for lack of a better term. But one that was duplicated, so help me clarify, I heard bike programs under a adult recreation coordinator as well as the community center manager. Can you differentiate who does what on that one?
Well, it's kind of a joint venture. Britta's the lead on it. It just takes a lot of work on the weekends when the bike don't lock. So we all kind of take our share of going out there and unlocking the bike or locking it back up, or if something happens that we can get that bike out of use or everything. So the youth rec coordinator helps out with that a lot, just because they have a lot more of the part-time staff during the summer as well. So if we need to call someone up and say, hey, can you go grab bike number 504 from the Swanson Field areas, they can go do that. So it's some of the cross training that we have as well.
Thanks for the clarification. Something that was said earlier that I think would be very valuable, instead of having Rob come and have to do this presentation again at a council meeting, because I don't know where we said that the review needed to be done, I would really think it would be a great idea to send the link to this meeting or this meeting itself to the other council members. I know there's a person that has it says Osmus. So that is Julie. Don't talk, Julie, because we don't want to be over our number who talk at a meeting. If you're here, I applaud you being here and hearing the information. But I think all the council members really need to get this update. And so if staff could get this into the hands of the other council members. I know it's always available, but let's be very intentional about it, because I know this had been brought up several times in different ways at previous council meetings. And so handing it right over in a direct message, I think, would be a good thing, because lots of good information and lots of questions were answered here this evening. So I'm looking at a couple nods, yes, on staff, so I hope that can happen as soon as this thing is available. Additional questions for Rob at this time? Again, I thank you for your presentation, and thank you for putting it together. I know it was kind of open-ended. I know you were looking for some additional information about exactly what we're looking for, and the answer was we didn't know exactly what we were looking for, but I think you delivered, so again, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Our next item on our agenda is miscellaneous. Is there anything else that needs to come before the Labor Committee this evening? I will point out that HR Director Beckman did send out the meeting adjustment for our next Labor meeting, which will be an all-council Labor meeting, where we're going to talk about the introduction to negotiations. Samantha, do you have anything you wanted to add on that?
No, just making sure everyone did get the date correction to May 26th, not the 25th. So Tuesday the 26th at 6:15.
Thank you. Anything else that needs to come before Labor this evening? Councilmember Schwantes?
Thank you. I just have a quick question, and it was brought up a couple times in regard to, like, when Becky left and folks having to fill in and take on those responsibilities. We would all like to think COVID-19 is done and over shortly, but we're in it for the long haul. And we never know who we're going to have sick at what time and affected by it, or really in life beyond COVID goes on, right? And so other incidences. But do we have a plan as far as maybe backup for all of the positions that we have to make sure that business doesn't stop because of someone's illness, or maybe it spreads through a department or whatever?
Any question, city administrator or HR director?
I know when this first started, we had every staff member for themselves and for their department put down, I believe it was three deep, a level of backup who they could take over their position in the case that they were sick and needed to be out for COVID-19. So we do still have all of those back from our original pandemic plan.
That is super fantastic. Great answer. Thank you.
Any other things to come to the meeting this evening? Councilor Robert.
How is our staff doing as far as health wise? And we had anybody forced to take time off because of COVID-19, or how are we doing as a city?
I think so far we've been fairly fortunate as far as how many people we've had out. It's just now started here in Wilmer, so knock on wood. But we have had three staff members so far who have needed to quarantine for COVID-19. But so far, just the three. And that was, the initial case was last Thursday, I believe, and we haven't had anyone else develop symptoms, so that's wonderful. So far, just those three.
Thank you.
Very good news. Or to quote Councilor Schwant, this is super fantastic news. All right. Anything else need to come before the Labor Committee this evening?
Motion to adjourn.
There's a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And seconded. We are adjourned. Thank you for your participation this evening. Stay well.